ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवत्युत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 8, Verse 50. The purport is short, so I am going to read until the end of Chapter 50, 51 and 52. So, text number 50 and 51 I'll recite myself and we will recite 52 together. अस्त्युक्तः स भगवान् व्रजे द्रोणो महायशः जज्ञे नन्द इति ख्यातो यशोदा सा धराभवत्। Translation: When Brahma said, "Yes, let it be so," the most fortunate Drona, who was equal to Bhagavan, appeared in Vrajapur, Vrindavan, as the most famous Nanda Maharaj, and his wife Dhara appeared as Mother Yashoda. Purport by Srila Prabhupada: Because whenever Krishna appears on this earth, he superficially needs a father and mother. Drona and Dhara, his eternal father and mother, appeared on earth before Krishna as Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda. In contrast to Sutapa and Prishnigarbha, they did not undergo severe penances and austerities to become the father and mother of Krishna. This is the difference between Nitya Siddha and Sadhana Siddha. Text 51. Tato Bhaktir Bhagavati Putri Bhrute Janardane Dampatyo Nitaramasid Gopa Gopi Shubharata. Translation: Thereafter, O Maharaj Parikshit, best of the Bharatas, when the Supreme Personality of Godhead became the son of Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda, they maintained continuous, unswerving devotional love in parental affection. And in their association, all the other inhabitants of Vrindavan, the gopas and gopis, developed the culture of Krishna Bhakti. Purport by Srila Prabhupada: Although when the Supreme Personality of Godhead stole the butter, curd and milk of the neighboring gopas and gopis, this teasing superficially seemed troublesome. In fact, it was an exchange of affection in the ecstasy of devotional service. The more the gopas and gopis exchanged feelings with the Lord, the more their devotional service increased. Sometimes we may superficially see that a devotee is in difficulty because of being engaged in devotional service, but the fact is different. When a devotee suffers for Krishna, that suffering is transcendental enjoyment. Unless one becomes a devotee, this cannot be understood. When Krishna exhibited his childhood pastimes, not only did Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda increase their devotional affection, but those in their association also increased in devotional service. In other words, persons who follow the activities of Vrindavan will also develop devotional service in the highest perfection. Text 52. Please repeat after me. Krishna Brahmana Adesham Satyam Kartum Vraje Vibhu Saharamo Vasamschakre Tesham Pritim Svalilaya. Krishna Brahmana Adesham Satyam Kartum Raje Vibhu Saharamo Vasamschakre Tesham Pritim Svalilaya. Krishna Brahmana Adesham Satyam Kartum Vraje Vibhu Saharamo Vasamschakre Tesham Pritim Svalilaya. Krishna Brahmana Adesham Satyam Kartum Vraje Vibhu Saharamo Vasamschakre Tesham Pritim Svalilaya. Anybody please? Krishna Brahmana Adesham to word. Please repeat. Krishna, the Supreme Personality Krishna. Brahmana, of Lord Brahma. Adesham, the order. Satyam, truthful. Kartum, to make. Vraje, in Vrajabhumi. Vrindavan. Vibhu, the supreme powerful. Saharamaha, along with Balram. Vasan, residing. Chakre, increased. Tesham, of all the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Pritim, the pleasure. Swalilaya, by his transcendental pastimes. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Thus, the Supreme Personality Krishna, along with Balram, lived in Brajabhumi, Vrindavan, just to substantiate the benediction of Brahma by exhibiting different pastimes in his childhood. He increased the transcendental pleasure of Nanda and the other inhabitants of Vrindavan. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports of 10th canto, 8th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Lord Krishna Shows the Universal Form Within His Mouth. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Sri Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Before I start, I would like to beg for the mercy, for the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, especially the senior disciples of Srila Prabhupada and all the assembled ones, that I may be able to speak something beneficial, because I don't feel that I am qualified, but because to fulfill the order of Swas Prabhu and Archit Prabhu, I am trying to make a feeble attempt to speak something about Srimad Bhagavatam. Just like when Prabhupada was a grahastha, he had a difficult family life, and still, despite of so many problems in the, you know, in his married life, like his wife was not allowing Srila Prabhupada to chant inside the house. She was always asking Srila Prabhupada to leave the house if he wanted to chant, and she was addicted to drinking tea, which Prabhupada never liked. So there was always some friction in the house. But despite all these problems, also Prabhupada's son, Prayagraj, who was born in Prayag, he had mental issues. So Prabhupada was always dealing with so-called difficulties. Actually, for a pure devotee, there is no difficulty because he is not in the material consciousness. Nothing material can affect a pure devotee. But still, just to show to all the people in general, Krishna puts a devotee in such situations so that the common people in general can understand that this is the nature of the material world. So the point was that despite all these difficulties, Prabhupada never gave up the mission to serve the spiritual master. And despite being grahastha and having so many problems, he used to always go and preach in different houses. He used to arrange house programs. He did not speak himself, but he used to take disciple of Bhakti Rakshak Sridhar Goswami, whose name was Govinda Brahmachari that time, and he used to make him sit on the Vyasasan. And he used to say, I'm not qualified. You are qualified. You are my god uncle. But still Prabhupada used to say, no, you speak, I will take care. Prabhupada used to sit in the audience. So today, I feel the same way, that I am not qualified. And most of my god uncles are here. They are much more qualified. But they just want to give me a chance and make a feeble attempt. Text number 50 purport. Prabhupada is saying that Krishna appears in this earth and he superficially needs mother and father. How can God require mother and father? Because Krishna is the one from whom everything is coming. But here, just to act as a human boy or a human, just to act like a human in the society of humans, Krishna superficially accepts a mother and father. So here the point being made is Drona and Dhara are eternal associates, Nitya Siddha. And they did not have to go through any austerity like Sutapa and Prushni Garbha, who are Sadhana Siddha. So there are two categories, Nitya Siddha and Sadhana Siddha. Chaitanya Charitamrut Madhya Leela, chapter 22, says, Sei vibhinnamsha jiva duita prakara eka nitya mukta eka nitya samsara. There are two types of living entities who are vibhinnamsha. So Krishna has swamsha, which are his personal expansions, and they are termed as Bhagavan because they are non-different than Krishna. So here, Prabhupada is writing in the purport that the mother and father of Krishna are also his expansions. That's why they are called Bhagavan. So they are Nitya Siddha, Swamsha, Amsha. And in the Vibhinna Amsha, there are two types. Nitya Siddha, Nitya Baddha. And once a person is going through the sadhana bhakti and once somebody achieves the platform of Nitya Siddha, then there is no distinction. So Nitya Baddha Jeev can become Nitya Siddha, eternally liberated by the mercy of a pure devotee. And by serving at the lotus feet of that pure devotee, that spiritual master, he can attain the highest perfection and then he can become Nitya Siddha. Prabhupada wrote a letter to Jadurani Mataji and he said that out of six Goswamis, all of them are not Nitya Siddhas. Only Rupa Goswami and Raghunath Goswami are Nitya Siddhas, eternal associates. And remaining four were Sadhana Siddhas. But as soon as they came in contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that distinction was resolved. So as long as they came in contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all of them became Nitya Siddhas. So once being pure, there is no distinction. Who is Nitya Siddha? Who is Nitya Baddha? Even Krishna's gopis that danced in Rasa Leela, that they have distinctions. Most of them were Nitya Siddha gopis from the spiritual kingdom of Krishna, from Golok Vrindavan. Some of them were Sadhana Siddha and some of them were Rishi Siddhas. So if you remember when Lord Ram was exiled and he was traveling, he came across some sages who were performing penances and they had a desire that we want to serve the way Mother Sita serves you. Because they saw Mother Sita is getting so much of intimate association. So they had such a desire that they want to serve Krishna in the same way. But Lord Ram said that this life, I have taken ekapatni vrata, that I will only accept one wife. But next life, I will fulfill your desire. So those sadhana siddha bhaktas, the devotees, they become Rishi Siddha gopis. And they got birth in Vrindavan. And they got mixed with Nitya Siddha gopis who were from Golok Vrindavan. And they got the training from eternally liberated Nitya Siddha gopis. And as soon as they both came in contact with each other, that distinction was removed. Nitya Siddha and Nitya Baddha, you know. So, this is how even in Krishna's pastimes we see the distinction. Why Krishna appeared in this world? You know, most of the times we have this question, why Krishna comes to this world? Externally it appears, as stated in Srimad Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna comes for three primary reasons. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. Krishna says basic three reasons. Paritranaya sadhunam, to protect his devotees. But this activity can be done by any other pious king. And it has been, you know, it has been being done by so many pious kings like Amrish Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj, and so many other pious kings have been performing this duty. So Krishna doesn't have to personally come just in order to protect sadhus. Vinashaya cha duskritam, to annihilate miscreants. For this also Krishna doesn't have to personally come. For example, so many of warriors, or so many of Vishnu Tattva incarnations have taken birth and they have done the same job. Like Parshuram, Dharma Samsthapan, so many great acharyas always take birth and they establish religious principles. So what is the real reason behind Krishna's appearance in this world? It is said that when mother is busy cooking in the kitchen, and if she hears the scream of a child, she doesn't send her servant or she doesn't send anyone else to see what happened to the child. She just drops everything and she runs to the child. So basic reason why Krishna comes to this material world, why does he come himself? You know, the basic reason is given in Srimad Bhagavatam. Anugrahaya bhaktanam manusham dehamastita bhajate tadrushi krida yashrutva tatparo bhavet. Shukdeva Goswami is saying to give the pleasure to his devotees, that is the primary reason why Krishna comes in this world personally. And he does so many wonderful pastimes, just like we are reading in this chapter. Lord Krishna is showing universal form to his mother. And there are so many wonderful childhood pastimes between Krishna and his mother. Sometimes Krishna is playing with his cowherd friends and they take a fruit which appears like a ball and they play football. And there are so many wonderful games that they play. Brahmane, Alingane, Visphutane, different types of varieties of games they are playing all the time. And Krishna is all the time having unlimited pleasure. He is giving pleasure and he is accepting pleasure. He is giving loving, affectionate service to his devotees. And sometimes Krishna is accepting defeat from his cowherd friends, though Krishna can never be defeated by anybody. But he is sometimes just to make his friend feel better, he is accepting defeat. And then he is carrying the friend on his shoulder. And the friend is, you know, boasting and shouting to everybody, "See, I have defeated Krishna." and he is boasting and shouting in all of the Braja Bhumi. And everybody is coming to know that today Krishna got defeated. You know, so it's like publicly they are declaring, and Krishna is taking pleasure in his own defeat. Also, all the cowherd boys, they used to take their cows for herding, as you know, Gocharan Leela. And everybody used to bring their own tiffin boxes. And they used to share the tiffin box. And when Brahma, Lord Brahma, saw this pastime, he got bewildered. He thought, how can my father act in such a way that he is dealing with cowherd boys who are not even brahmanas, and he is eating from their plates and he is feeding them by his own hands? And one day they decide, this is, you know, everybody's tiffin box has so much of wonderful preparations. Instead of thinking about it, let's mix everything. So they just bring big leaves and mix all the prasadam from all the tiffin boxes, and they mix it together and they are eating together. That is Krishna. There is no distinction, you know. There is nobody low caste, there is nobody high caste in the eyes of Krishna. There is nobody black, there is nobody white, there is nobody brown, nobody Indian, American, you know. There is no distinction in the eyes of Krishna. And the same we see in the life of Krishna's pure devotees. When Prabhupada came, he never saw any distinction. He saw everybody equally. He saw everybody as his own children. And he saw that they are helping him preach Krishna consciousness. So Krishna's appearance in the world has many reasons. Just like if we want to get a mango from a tree, you know, usually as a child, you know, somebody would pick up a stone and throw and try to get a mango. And what we can do maximum is maybe get one or two mangoes by throwing one stone. But Krishna is so transcendental that by throwing one stone, Krishna can take all the mangoes from all the trees. So Krishna's pastimes are multifold, and there are so many different objectives that Krishna achieves by simple one pastime. And these pastimes cannot be understood by a person who has been living in this material world for time immemorial, and whose consciousness has been completely polluted because of the contamination. So these pastimes have to be heard by a bona fide spiritual master like Srila Prabhupada. We have received his mercy, and because of his explanation and because of his purports, we are able to understand what is really happening in these pastimes. Otherwise, there is a great risk that these pastimes may be taken as ordinary. Like Prabhupada said, that every purport of Srila Prabhupada is his devotional ecstasy. So we have to read each and every purport very seriously. One of the other reasons Krishna comes to this world is to attract the fallen souls back to his eternal kingdom. And he shows himself, he shows his different qualities. Like Krishna is called Bhuri Karuna, that he has unlimited mercy for a fallen conditioned soul. Though the soul has rejected Krishna, but Krishna never rejects the soul. Though the soul has turned his back on Krishna, but Krishna still, being the Paramatma situated in his heart, Krishna is always traveling with the soul all the time and waiting for the soul to turn back towards him so that he can guide him. So that is Krishna's very important quality, which is Bhuri Karuna. He is unlimitedly merciful even to the fallen conditioned soul. And what to speak of his pure devotee? He is Bhakta Vatsal. That means he has parental affection for his devotee. Just like a cow, when he sees a cow, whenever you see a cow and a calf, you would see the calf has a tendency to go and roll somewhere in the dust, in the dirt. And at the end of the day, when the calf comes to the mother cow licks the body of the calf and purifies because of the parental affection. The same way Krishna has bhakta vatsalata, the parental affection for his devotee. Krishna cannot tolerate impurities in the hearts of his devotees. And that is the reason Krishna puts the devotees in different types of miserable, so-called miserable conditions of life. The devotees, despite being surrendered to Krishna, sometimes go through difficulties. But it is just a Krishna's plan that Krishna wants to purify the devotee by putting him in such so-called difficult situations. This bhakta vatsalta is very much appreciated in all the pastimes of Krishna. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling in the South India, he went to Srirangam Kshetra and he went to Srirangnath temple, and he saw there was an illiterate Brahmana who had Srimad Bhagavad Gita in his hands, and he was holding it upside down. He was trying to read it, but he was not being able to read it. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw that that Brahmana was being condemned by other Brahmanas. Just because other learned Brahmanas thought that he doesn't know what he is doing, and they were condemning. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought that this Brahmana needs mercy. So he approached him and he thought that I am seeing that you are holding Srimad Bhagavad Gita and you are trying to read, you are not able to read. That time the Brahmana answers, Viprakahe murkha ami shabdartha na jani, shuddha ashuddha Gita padi guru ra agyamani. He says that learned people who are staying in this temple, they say that I am a fool. So he calls others vipra. He calls others as learned. And he doesn't say that these rascals are calling me fool. They say that they are advanced people. They are learned. And they call me fool. Because I don't know shabdartha. I'm not able to read. Because I'm illiterate. Shuddha ashuddha Gita padi. But I'm still trying to read Srimad Bhagavad Gita as I can. Because that is the order of my spiritual master. My spiritual master told me that you should read Srimad Bhagavad Gita every day. So I'm just trying. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought, how can this illiterate person who doesn't even know how to read, how come tears are flowing through his eyes? How come he is experiencing devotional ecstasies? So he inquires, why are you crying? And that person says, whenever I see the cover page of Bhagavad Gita, I see that Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Parabrahma, Paramdhama, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan, he is the source of everything. And despite being such powerful, despite being all powerful, he is just accepting a role of a servant of his pure devotee Arjuna. So just by seeing Krishna as a charioteer, as a chariot driver of Arjuna, just because of his bhakta vatsal nature, that he is so compassionate, I cannot stop tears. And that is the reason Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu starts associating with that Brahmana and not the others who were condemning. So he received full mercy from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he was following the order of the spiritual master with all his heart. And we see that Krishna really protected Arjuna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He was always protecting Arjuna. It is said that all the arrows that were being sent by different warriors from Kaurava side. Krishna used to look at all the arrows, and Krishna used, because Krishna was at the front, and Krishna was looking at each and every arrow and was seeing if there is any possibility of danger to his devotee. So Krishna was at the front just making sure that his devotee is protected. One time when Bhishma Dev was killed, he was laid down, he was invalidated on the 10th day, and after that Drona also was killed. Then Kauravas called Nagas, the serpents, which is according to the law of wars, it was not proper thing, but still they somehow wanted to win the war, so they approached the serpents. And it is said there was Ashwasena, who was son of Takshak, and he wanted to take revenge from Arjuna, because the time when Arjuna and Krishna, they wanted to rejuvenate Khandavaprastha and they wanted to build Indraprastha. That time they burnt the desert, Khandavaprastha. That time, because of burning, most of the serpents were killed in that fire. And in that fire, the wife of Takshaka, which means mother of Ashwasena, was dead because of the fire. So they had this animosity. And you see this animosity being continued. Even at the time of Parikshit Maharaj, he is cursed to be beaten by Takshak, because they know that these two families have animosity. So Ashwasena somehow wanted to kill Arjuna. So he went and he sat in the quiver of Karna. And serpents have hypnotizing power. So he hypnotized Karna. And he was sending signals to Karna. Karna, pick me up. So, Karna was getting those signals. Karna, pick me up. So he took the arrow, Karna, and Karna was shooting the arrow. And Ashwasena jumped on the arrow. And the time when Karna shoot that arrow, Krishna saw that arrow coming towards Arjuna's head. And that time Krishna couldn't control, and Krishna, just to protect Arjuna, Krishna by his feet, he pushed the chariot inside the ground, 1 foot. And because of this shock, Arjuna's crown fell down. And Arjuna was unaware of what is happening. And because the crown fell down, and Arjuna was, Arjuna felt offended. He thought, what is happening? He said, Krishna, please drive properly. What you are doing? And Krishna said, you don't know what is happening. So many arrows are coming. But Arjuna said, no, please drive properly. My crown fell down. What are you doing? Krishna said, crown? Your head was supposed to be on the ground. So sometimes the same thing happens with all of us. Some small thing happens, some small problems come in our life, and we come to Krishna and say, Krishna, what are you doing? But Krishna is actually saving us from a greater danger. So we have to always remember that Krishna is having a bigger plan. He has a, he has a bigger picture of our life, and whatever he is doing, though it may appear as inconvenience for the time being, but in the long run it is going to be all beautiful, all auspicious. So that is the reason Krishna comes, to give the pleasure to devotees. And by giving pleasure to all his devotees, he leaves behind his beautiful pastimes. Krishna's pastimes are all beautiful. And just by reading these pastimes, people can get their hearts completely purified. Krishna's pastimes are so loving and they are so filled with nectar that whoever will read these pastimes from a bona fide spiritual master, they will get the highest benediction and they will return back to the kingdom of God. So we have to be very serious when we are reading the 10th canto, because 10th canto is pure nectar, pure unalloyed nectar. So we have to, you know, be very serious when we are reading Krishna's pastimes, especially the 10th canto. One of the other reasons why Krishna comes to this material world is to establish his supremacy, just to show to the world that he is the supreme personality of Godhead. He comes here and he humbles all the demigods. There are so many pastimes. Lord Brahma was humbled in Brahma Vimohan Leela. Indra was humbled when Krishna lifted Govardhan, and you know, Brahma, Indra, they all surrendered to Krishna. They came to know that Ishwara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadi Radi Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Krishna is origin of everything. Krishna is essence of everything, and Krishna is best of everything. Even the so-called dacoits, so-called thieves, they think that we are the best. But what can they steal? What maximum thing they can steal? Even Krishna is best in all these activities. In terms of murder, Krishna started his career by killing Putana, Trinavarta, Agasur, Bakasur. These people were the greatest and the most powerful demons. So Krishna killed them when he was just a little baby. In terms of stealing pastimes, how much can a person steal in this world? How much, the biggest thief, how much can he steal? But Krishna is called Chora Agraganya by Bilwa Mangal Thakur. Bilwa Mangal Thakur says, you are the biggest thief and there cannot be any other thief that is bigger than you. He says, first thing you steal is Radharani's heart. Radharani is the origin of all opulence. So first thing you steal is Shri Radhikaya Rudayasya Choram. Shri Radhikaya Ridayasya Choram Navambuda Shamala Kanti Choram Padashritanam Chasamasta Choram Choragraganyam Purusham Namami. He says, not only that, whoever takes shelter of your lotus feet, you steal all those people from Maya Devi and you bring them to your eternal kingdom. So you steal all the devotees. And not only that, whoever utters your holy name, you steal all their papa rashi, all their sinful activities in just one utterance of holy name. Yadiya nama api haratya shesham giri prasaran api papa rashin ascharya rupo nanu chora idri drushta shrutovana maya kadapi. So he is saying, Bilwa Mangal Thakur, I have never even heard of such a thief who can steal so many things in so many transcendental way. So people of this world, even those who are not devotees, they get attracted to Krishna's pastimes. In terms of politics, you know, what maximum politics plot you can hear? Like one person may call the other woman a nasty woman, and the woman may call the person as a pervert. At the end, somebody may win the election. But how much he is, you know, how much he is winning, how much area is just one country. But when Krishna was here, Krishna did the politics of the entire world, Mahabharata. So Krishna, even in terms of politics, Krishna is the best. In terms of romance, who can match the romantic activities of Krishna? Nobody can match. You know, somebody may have one girlfriend and one wife later on, and you know how much one can provide to that lady. But Krishna, when he was here, he had millions of girlfriends, and he left all of them for 100 years, and they were still crying for Krishna, and they are still meditating for Krishna. So Krishna is the best of everything. Krishna is the essence of everything, and Krishna is the origin of everything. Married life also, as you know, Krishna had 16,108 wives. All of them had beautiful, big palaces, and everybody was completely satisfied by Krishna. So we have to take complete shelter of Sri Krishna, because he can satisfy everything, everybody, in completeness. And we should always remember Srila Prabhupada and all his sacrifices just to bring Krishna Leela to all the people in general. Because of his sacrifice, we are able to access these transcendental, eternal pastimes of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anybody has questions? I can think. 1, 2, 3.
Thank you for a very nice class.
Thank you, Maharaj.
It's filled with so many nice pastimes and so many important points of our Vedic culture and Vedic principles. So my praises go to you for this wonderful description that you've given us. What I'm really asking about is the early part of your discourse, and you had mentioned Nitya Siddha. We talked about Sadhana Siddha. Nitya Siddha means eternally perfect, and Sadhana Siddha meaning one who achieves perfection through sadhana. And there's also Kripa Siddha, who achieves perfection through the compassion or mercy of Krishna. So here's my question. We have these three categories, the ones I just mentioned. So I want to know, I would appreciate if you would explain, in consciousness, what is the characteristic difference of a Nitya Siddha to a Sadhana Siddha to a Kripa Siddha? How do they actually differ? In other words, we're using three different names to describe three apparently different consciousnesses. Because the Nitya Siddha, as you mentioned, as it's mentioned in our books, they don't fall down. They, technically, theoretically, everybody who's a living entity can. But when they reach the point of Nitya Siddha, there's no question of fall down for some particular reason, which really, so what I would appreciate if you would please give us, in consciousness, what is the difference between each of these particular siddhas?
Okay.
Thank you.
So Krishna has Swansha Tattva, that which are direct expansions, who are equal to him, and they never fall down. They are also called Nitya Siddhas. But they are not jivas. They are not living entities. They are called Swamsha incarnation, Swamsha avatar. There is second category, which is Vibhinnamsha. And the Jiva Shakti, Krishna's energy of all the living entities, comes in this category of Vibhinnamsha. And as I quoted from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela, chapter 22, Vibhinnamsha has two categories. Sei Vibhinnamsha Jiva Duita Prakara Eka Nitya Mukta Eka Nitya Samsara. So one is Nitya Mukta, which is the same term for Nitya Siddha. Nitya Mukta also means Nitya Siddha. So and Nitya Samsara means Nitya Baddha. So the living entities in Vibhinnamsha have two categories. Nitya Siddha, eternally liberated. Nitya Baddha, eternally conditioned. Nitya Baddha and Nitya Siddha, both are living entities. But the difference in consciousness is that Nitya Siddha devotees never turn away from Krishna. They always serve the Ichha Shakti, the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As long as they are taking the shelter of the internal potency and serving the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, a Nitya Siddha will never fall down. As long as they are serving the desire of Krishna. Because ultimately, if you see all the pastimes, even pure devotees have to undergo through so many so-called problems. Like Parikshit Maharaj was a pure devotee, but he was cursed to die in 7 days. But he just saw this as desire of Krishna, and he surrendered to that desire of Krishna. And that is the sign of Nitya Siddha. The person who has taken and complete shelter of Krishna's desire, and they never rebel the desire of Krishna. They never have any ulterior desire. They don't have any separate desire. All they want to do is satisfy Krishna's desire and be a part of Krishna's plans. That is the characteristic difference between Nitya Siddha and Nitya Baddha. Nitya Baddha means he was once in the spiritual kingdom. Yeah, so Nitya Baddha means he is eternally conditioned, but just because of some offense or because of any desire, he comes to the spiritual, from the spiritual world, he falls to the material world. Now, Nitya Baddha can come back to Nitya Siddha stage. There are again two types. Sadhana Siddha means, yeah, I'm coming to the point, but I have to go through, you know, through all the explanation. It's a long explanation. So, the process from Nitya Baddha to Nitya Siddha is, then there are two, three types, which is Sadhana Siddha. Sadhana Siddha is what we are all are doing. We are all sadhana devotees. We are not Siddha yet. But we are trying to become Sadhana Siddha. Sadhana Siddha means somebody takes the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, serves the spiritual master, and performs the austerities, you know, by his instructions. So follow the instructions. And this is the sadhana. We wake up early at 4 o'clock. And we come for Mangal Arati, we follow the four regulative principles. These are all the, you know, different sadhana, that sacrifices we are doing in order to achieve Sadhana Siddha stage. Sadhana Siddha stage is equal to Nitya Siddha. So ultimately they become Nitya Siddha. But Sadhana Siddha means they have taken the path of Sadhana Bhakti. Kripa Siddha means somebody gets a special mercy, special benediction. Like when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was here, he distributed the love of Krishna without any, you know, without any reservation. He just gave it to people. He did not ask them to follow all these principles, you know. So they did not have to go through all the process of sadhana bhakti, because he was Krishna himself. So he had this power that he could give Krishna prema. So in Chaitanya Charitamrut it is mentioned, just by his glance, just by looking at a living entity, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could give Krishna prema. So he used to give the highest perfectional stage to these living entities, and this is Kripa Siddha. So they got the Nitya Siddha stage from Nitya Baddha by Kripa. Kripa means by the mercy. So that mercy could be from Krishna himself, it could be from his expansion, or it could be from pure devotee of Krishna. Like Arjuna killed so many warriors in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and all of them, most of them, they got their parampadam, they got their highest perfectional stage. They did not chant Hare Krishna, right? Did they chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna? They did not. They just got killed by Arjuna, and they had a benefit of seeing the beautiful face of Krishna at the time of death.
and they got the liberation. So that's my humble answer. Yes, Prabhu. Yes,
if I may just add and take a few seconds. The answer that I was looking for, Prabhu, mm-hmm. is not the description of how Anitya Siddha achieves his siddha, or how a kripa siddha. I wasn't looking for that. What I was looking for is this. When one becomes Nitya Siddha, eternally perfect, the degree, the intensity of affection and love and surrender to Krishna is so great that it's virtually impossible for him to fall away back to the material world. A sadhana siddha, we call him sadhana because he's, as you mentioned, he achieved it through the process of sadhana. But it doesn't mean that he cannot fall back, because nitya means eternal. It means he's tied to Krishna through love eternally. And the very idea, the very thought, the very concept of separation is like death to them. So therefore, life to them is constant service to Krishna. As we see with the cowherd boys, we see with the gopis, we see Mother Yashoda. These are all basically nitya siddhas. When Krishna was away from them, what happened was that they would feel such pain of separation, you see. So in the eternal world, there is no question of falling. In sadhana siddha, that is a high plane. And as you mentioned, they can go into a still higher platform and reach the nitya siddha. But until they reach that, they can be fall down, you see. The same with kripa siddha. He's getting a special gift, and he gets to a high plateau of the spiritual world, which is great. But if he begins to exercise or starts to exercise his own independence and wants to think separately of his own desire as opposed to what Krishna desires or what Krishna wants or what Krishna likes, well, then that can be the basis of a fall down.
So
once Nitya Siddha is reached, almost virtually impossible to fall because of the cemented heart of the devotee to the heart of Krishna.
Right. Kripa Siddhi and Sadhana Siddhi, these are processes. But once one becomes Nitya Siddha from the stage of Nitya Baddha, they all become Nitya Siddha. There is no distinction. And they can never fall down back to this material world.
Yes, but they have to reach that state.
Yeah, and absolutely. I started my class with the same explanation.
It doesn't come automatically. It has to do with the level and degree and intensity of surrender and loving devotion. The service is what brings them to that higher and higher level.
Of course. Thank you so much for a wonderful explanation.
Thank you
so much, everybody. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.